Welcome to another episode of the Stubborn Heroes, a Dungeons & Dragons podcast. My name is Adam, and I am the Dungeon Master, and the Stubborn Heroes we have today are Raymond, who plays Aerotol.
Hello.
Michael, who plays Belrin.
Hi.
And Cody, who plays Amon.
Hello.
All the single name guys. No two names. No, you guys are too cool for that. You're like Cher or Madonna.
What?
What?
Huh?
Everyone's a single name.
You guys don't have, no, Phileas Senek, Cedric Crow. You guys never notice I always say Phileas Senek?
That's Cedric a first Crow. And a last name.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not two names.
You guys only have one name. Do you have a last name?
It'd be like Shaniqua Destiny.
Shaniqua Destiny.
Like two first names.
I mean, technically I have two last names, but it never
Yeah, and you seem to go back and forth. But you've decided on long stride, according to the Dread Pirates. Speaking of, anyways, let's start with what happened last time. So, last time, you all traveled to Xanadu, where Aerotol and the rest of you had a final encounter with Sebastian Silverkin. You learn that the entire planet of...
I may have summoned that.
Entire planet.
It's because the door shut. He's mad. He's like, Mom! Don't.
He's gonna
die.
Cody's gonna get
pink
eye again.
Shut up. I've been using it back in my hand.
He needs a sanitizing wipe.
You can't make me dad.
You went to Xanadu, and you discovered that Sebastian Silverkin was using the Crystallis Magicus, the Heart of Magic, in order to create a golem army made of crystal. He had planned to then traverse the multiverse with this golem army to try to take it over in a fit of psychotic rage and jealousy and rivalry with Aerotol. And as he was monologuing and doing his supervillain speech, Aerotol cut him off. And with several different persuasions, some of them physical with a knife to his throat, he just didn't see the fun in doing it anymore. Can you open up that door? And just let him. Is he in?
He went straight under the bed.
Good.
This
is all part of the show. It's all part of the show, sorry.
Also, your cats are making noises again.
Yeah, that's also my kid, though. I think he's also
making
noises. He just woke up. Where was I? So, upon defeating him, another way that you defeated him, too, Aerotol was able to take the Heart of Magic in his arm, his mechanical arm, falling and breaking and shattering, replacing it with a crystal arm now, which is your new magical focus. And is literally the Heart of Magic from Xanadu in the palm of your hand. You had a choice to make. You could have used that magic in whatever way you wanted to. You could have had an entire golem army, but instead you chose to stop the crumbling of the planet and save as many of the Xanadu refugees as you could, get them back to the Citadel, and the golem army all fell away and was completely destroyed, so they will not be able to help you in your fight against the Silver Eye. But you did get about 10 golems.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Sebastian built them anyways, so
yeah.
They're not that good.
Sebastian is also at the Citadel, so we're going to have to...
And my hard work with the arm all gone.
Yep. So,
I knew we should have chopped that arm off and attached it to the crow.
Me.
So the crow had an arm.
Hmm?
What?
The sounds of marching boots and roll calls are heard about the Citadel. The marching of war drums before a great battle.
Where are they marching to?
As without notice, the Silver Eye has begun amassing large-scale attacks on major cities throughout the realm. Rumors abound of Wallace under siege by silver ships and silver drake riders descending upon the city. The College of Music and Merriment in Altonshire, facing off against silver wizards and sorcerers. The halflings reaching a stalemate in the struggle as their home crumbles. Finally, the dragonborn of all chromatic colors, under the banner of Maul, the new war chief of the dragonborn, are literally breaking down the walls of the human capital of Rathir, leaving Emperor Ravenhood no choice but to draw his army back and fortify. It is a tumultuous time indeed. As the unfated army faces such wide-scale assaults, a war council has been called, gathering the commanders and generals of the unfated army to meet in the embassy quarter and decide what the next course of action is. Where to distribute your forces, and how best to face against these threats. This is all mere days after you came back from Xanadu. But in that time, during those few days, I'll leave it open for you to decide what you've been doing, if there's anything specific that you've wanted to do. I'm going to start with Eritol, though, because I need to know, how did you deal with Sebastian Silverkin? And what sort of plans do you have for all of these magically malnourished refugees from Xanadu?
Start feeding them crystals.
Sure, in this realm they seem unable to eat crystals because they also didn't eat crystals in their realm. It's not like you walk around eating crystals. So
Eritol reaches in his pocket. No one's on a crystal. just kidding. We start processing through the refugees.
Yeah, I mean, a few days pass. I'd say that
get them all sorted out.
If you want Caden's help, maybe Caden has assisted. Yeah, and sort of taught them, and now they are learning how to process foods, how to poop. I mean, very simple things. These are masters of magic. They're very powerful. You saved you might have lost a golem army, but you also now have an army of very powerful wizards, because everybody in Xanadu was magically inclined, while only a few people in the realm of Varian have the talents needed to be able to cast spells and stuff. These people, it comes naturally to them. And even within a few days, they start getting their forms back, they start being able to cast simple spells, and they're learning about the magic of this realm. But Sebastian Silverkin, what were your plans with him? What did you do? As these refugees see him as a monster, a person who crumbled their world and literally killed so many of them and their friends and their family and loved ones. So ultimately, it would be up to you, Eritol. I don't think anybody else would argue. It would be entirely up to you what you did with them. You do have the stockade. It's like a prison, so I mean, you could throw them in.
I mean, I could.
But
more fun. I'm going to spend the few days with Sebastian and kind of show him the world of Varian and just the situation that we're in.
Okay. Is this in a attempt to, like, persuade him to your side, would you say?
Maybe an attempt to just humanize him.
I'm just going to get you to roll a persuasion check. Just over the course of a few days.
16. No, 16.
Can you give me that, actually? Can you open that?
Is that clip in there?
It was open the first time.
It's not. I thought maybe it would have been in there. I don't know why I would have put it in there. I wouldn't have put it in there. But anyways.
You almost had a eureka moment.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What was the total persuasion?
16.
Okay, I'll take that into consideration, and we'll see how it goes. Sebastian's very quiet and stuff, but he does listen to you over the course of a few days. The guards end up taking him back to the stockades, because unfortunately, due to his crimes... I mean, it's up to you. You're an unfated. You get to decide, but I would assume that you wouldn't want him walking freely yet, considering his crimes, or would you not care?
It's
entirely up to you.
Put him under Caden's supervision.
Okay. Good. So Sebastian and Caden, I can only imagine. I'm not doing both of them. I'm not having an NPC conversation right now. But you can imagine the chaos that would ensue with those two egos clashing. The few golems that you have, do you just have... What do you have them do? You have about 10 of them.
Patrol the Citadel.
Okay, they'll patrol the Citadel with Chad, Cedric's little Citadel Guardian, and all the different guards of your army and everything. People are still recovering... especially in the living quarter, people are still recovering from the Thrykreen attack. But, like I said, all the armies are marching, and in their absence, these golems will be able to stay in the Citadel to help keep the peace. They're very powerful golems. It's just you guys are like almost level 20, so you're like gods. So, all right. So, what were you doing? Anything special? Did you move the Citadel anywhere? I mean, you can literally move the Citadel anywhere in the world in the few days.
No, the last time I moved it was in the sky where the crystal was before he put it in his arm.
It's still above the desert. The you guys went to Xanadu, then that platform at Xanadu teleported to you.
Oh, okay.
You didn't teleport to it. So you're still high up in the middle of the desert. You never moved it anywhere. I told you to look at the world map. But I don't know if you did that. Probably not. No. Okay, so what do you do? You tell me.
I don't know what Mon would be doing right now.
Mon is masturbating on the Netherlord's throne.
No.
You have a tentacle come out and give you a little hand.
Yeah, now you know why the Netherlord always kept his chamber door shut.
And that's why it's called the Stranger Danger move.
It's an R-rated episode.
You're not playing the character this time.
Never know, it could be.
Okay.
He'd probably be in his workshop just tinkering right now.
Okay. You, Belrin, you do not stay at the Citadel. You are living in Tull.
However, I have been staying there for a few days just to help people with the cleanup of the Thrykreen.
Oh, okay. Alright.
A couple of days.
Is that what you've been doing?
Yes.
You have some priestesses there with you helping healing people and stuff like that. Man.
Also, I don't know if you have any more for me, but there's also a gift for me.
Is there?
Yes.
Where?
In my old quarters.
There's a gift?
Do you not remember someone mentioning something to you?
No.
No.
Nobody mentioned anything.
Well, then forget it.
Nobody told me anything about the gift.
You're like, quarters. Forget it, I'm in Tull.
I was told you know about it.
Did the person's... Did they say it verbally, or did they write it to me?
I think they wrote it to you. That's fine!
Is it Harris?
Yes.
Okay, yes, I kind of remember that. We'll allow it. So, when you go back to your old quarters in the Citadel, you'd see your helmet there on display that you haven't worn in a while. But you'd also see a gift there, wrapped up, and you open it.
And it is?
I don't know.
Oh, the cloak. It's the cloak Harris got.
The cloak of many eyes?
Yes.
He can't give that to you.
In a promise that I'd give him back in the final battle. But you know what?
Yeah, that's fine. You find the cloak of many eyes.
Harris felt bad that he got a rope in a boat.
You didn't know about the boat. It was actually more so because of what the incident that happened between me and Amon, and Harris entrusted me with the cloak for right now, seeing as how much danger there was put into it, and he agreed with my point of view on my side of the story of everything, so that's why he handed it to me.
That is a ridiculous cloak, too.
Well,
okay. No, it's fine. It's yours. So, yeah, you have it. Are you going to wear it?
Here, you killed
him
on. Here's the gift.
Realistically,
it's kind of useless now, but that's beside the point.
All right, you have the cloak of many eyes. Yes. That's what it's called, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so, too. If I'm wrong, whatever.
Yeah.
Close enough. Same thing.
So I'm going to throw that on myself, and I'm also going to grab my helmet.
Yep.
For the upcoming...
You're going to have to speak up now, because I'm not going to unplug
it. Well, son of a gun, you stupid...
from now on to speak up, because it helps with the levels later.
Hi!
No, it's not happening.
All right, yeah. So yeah. That's what you've done for the
first phase? That's what I've been doing.
And eventually you will all meet up in the embassy quarter, as the war council has been called. When you walk in together...
So the first time it's been called.
Well, yeah, because the Silver Eye has actually... Yeah. But when you walk in, you see standing there at the for the council is Queen Orianna. They're representing the elves and their army. Moira and Rudra Irongut are there for representing the Council of Dwarves. Fiona Warsaw, representing the people of Darrowstead and the priestesses of Celeste. Abel Mondragon is there. She is representing the druids of Christora. I forgot the name of their island.
We already have an elder druid.
Amon, you will be representing the warlocks now with the unfortunate death of Lord Thakrak.
The emotional
I'm
death.
Surprised you never had a funeral for him. Okay. You had these few days to do something and you didn't even have a funeral for the guy who was your father.
Sorry.
Eritol, you're there representing the Xanadu refugees. These are the parts of the armies you're in charge of. So, because you guys are going to have to make some decisions right now. So, you're in charge of the Xanadu refugees, all these powerful magisters from your realm. And Belrin, you're there representing the tall pirates.
What about the short pirates?
That's
good, I quit.
It's actually really funny.
Can I be off guard? Emily, what do you mean, short bro? Oh my god.
Oh. We actually came up with something.
Oh, jeez.
You're killing Ray now. I can't Ray, have him now.
What about the short pirates? Oh, that's. Cody, that might have been the funniest thing you've ever said in your life, so...
Wow.
It's only downhill
he's
from
peaked.
Here.
He's peaked. That's
yeah,
you
peaked. It's only downhill from here, okay? I'm gonna do a ba-dum-cha in there.
Where's that Parker where you put that in the quote chain?
Okay. That doesn't deserve a quote.
Why?
Okay, no dice on the ground, right, guys? Drop any?
No. None that grace
me. Why?
Okay. Like the short pirates.
He's part of the short pirates.
And Barchode is also there. And you'd notice that Barchode has lost an arm, and it's now replaced with a mechanical red arm. He lost the arm during the battle against the Thrykrin. The council begins. Barchode explains about the three main incursions.
So, what we need to figure out now is, where we're going to send our armies, who we're going to send. I have statuses on everything that's going on, if you have any questions about the three different places.
Oh, I thought you were just going to give us a rundown.
I already did in the intro, so I didn't find, did you not listen? Do you want me to say it again?
No. It's okay.
Is it? You want me to say it again? Yeah. Also, why are you talking like me?
Where's the first place? Where's the first place?
All right, so...
Sorry, I can't help but stare at your red arm.
Would you like to know how I got it?
No. Yeah, sure, actually.
No, it's fine.
I want to know.
The three main war fronts are Altenshire at the College of Music and Merriment. That's the Halflings. They're being attacked by magic users who are tearing down their walls. The second point of attack is Wallace. Silver Eye are shooting from their ships. They have ships there. They're shooting at the city. And then there's Drakes coming down from the skies shooting down on them. Wallace isn't going to last much longer. And then there's Rhaetia. All of the warring dragonborn tribes for hundreds of years are now under one banner, under Maul, and he's bringing them straight to the human capital. And they're tearing down the walls. They use breath attacks, they use brute force, They're gonna decimate the human army if we don't do something.
Great, I was gonna ask if they're tearing down the wall brick by brick, like they're just taking each brick.
Oriana, Moira, and Rudra giggle. I would like to point out too, you know what I just noticed is like the whole war council are female except for you, like I didn't mean it to be female empowerment, but apparently all of the most powerful people in the realm are female, so except for you guys.
Just how like I planned it.
Yeah, that's not on purpose, but I'm reading it.
So I see you're not making notes. I assume it's all in your heads. What are we gonna do? Where are we sending our armies? We got the elves, the elven army, we have the dwarven army, we have the priestesses, we have the druids, we have the warlocks, the Xanadu refugees, the tall pirates.
Oh, all I'm thinking about is tall pirates.
Tall pirates.
I feel like we should send the magic users to fight the magic people.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I mean, that kind of makes sense. Or, you know what, let's just send...
I was thinking of sending maybe send some of the magic users to the human realm to bombard them with magic from above. Bombard the Dragonborn. Keep them away from the walls.
Okay. Or...
What's up with Valorant's face? I'm sorry, I have to point this out because the audience can't see it. Your eyes are wide, like you disagree. You
I'm saying, the people at Darrowstead, right, are fighting magic users.
Yeah.
Like Silver Eye magic wizard stuff, so we send some more wizards and warlocks that way.
I'm confused about what you just said. What about Darrowstead?
I don't know.
Those are his the priestesses.
No, I meant send priestesses, warlocks, and wizards towards where the Sobri wizards and...
Are you talking about
in Oldshire?
No, Wallace is the ships.
No, Wallace is ships and Drake's.
So Wallace is where we need to send my pirates to.
Okay.
Are you going to send anybody to... Or I guess I should keep this in character. Abel Mondragon says... Perhaps we should send some backups for your pirates. You know, Crestora has faced many sieges from pirates in the past, and we were able to repel them, not with ships, but with magic.
Seems like everything needs magic.
I know, that splits our magic crew up.
It's entirely up to you. I mean, tall pirates. Oh, it's all tall. You've ruined it. Tall pirates.
The Discords are going to make, like, actually fan art pirates that are very tall.
They're just legs. That's all it is. It's just legs.
Give them ideas.
Tall. It's like short pirates. Tall pirates.
Oh, God.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just letting you know the druids are also available, you know. And Barchode is there representing the crows. The crows are also available.
So, I feel like the druids to the human capital... would be the best. Well, no, not just them, but like if they went there, because they can like stonewall the walls to reinforce them and other wizard druid nature-y stuff. They randomly turn people into cats. More cats are always good.
You just see cats hopping the wall and attacking people. We also need to split up healers among groups.
So we split the priestess up? And druids up?
Well, wherever the druids are going, we don't have to send much healers there because they also have their own healers as well.
Let's just break everyone up into little, like, attack groups of, like, mixed things and just send them everywhere.
And Phileas and Cedric are there as well, by the way, with you guys. And Phileas says,
I'm going to go save as many people as I can.
Wherever the druids go, I'm going with them.
But if we split up the druids, how are you going to do that?
I will go with the bigger group, or the one that needs me most.
Let's split them into equal groups. just go to the human capital.
Julius rolls his eyes. Cedric's there as well with his, and he's just sharpening a dagger. I'll go and reinforce another army as well.
Okay. I think Wallace should take the pirates and the priestesses.
Okay.
And
Altonshire is wizard warlock.
Yeah.
Mixed with a few golems. I'm gonna actually send a few golems there because they can absorb most magic.
Okay. And a few golems. Gotcha. Yeah.
So there'll be like the tanks in the front. And then for Rathir, everyone else?
Yeah.
Because Maul's there.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah.
So Rathir's going to...
What would happen? In...
What?
Actually, no, you can't answer that.
I would send a good chunk of assassins over to Aldenshire, since it's more terrain and forest in that area.
Sure, yeah.
And they're weak.
Well,
and they're
I feel like
they're wizards, so.
So wizards, warlocks, golems, and crows. You're gonna send to.
Because there'll be
I feel like crows should be like mixed. Like there should be a few here. And
they'll
there.
Be mixed.
So sure. You'll distribute the crows okay. Evenly. Cedric's definitely gonna go to Aldenshire. That's his home. He's gonna go there. Crows and Cedric. Rathir, you're going to send some... Who are you going to send to Rathir? Dwarves and elves? To help the humans?
Yep. The trio. And then druids as well?
I was going to say, what about the druids we send there?
Druids, yeah.
That way, Phileas can be there too.
And save as many people.
And Phileas. And then Wallace is just pirates and priestesses?
That's what he said.
That's all that's really left.
And some crows.
Some crows.
True.
And I will join them. I don't know. I'm kidding.
yeah, sure. that can't happen. Sure. Because of what's about to happen, that can't happen.
To Aldenshire.
Aldenshire, okay.
Because it's a magic battle.
So, from what I've gathered, and just tell me if I'm wrong, it seems that to go to Altonshire and fight against the Silver Eye Magisters, you're going to send wizards, warlocks, golems, and some crows. Cedric will also be leading them.
Mm-hmm.
To Rathir to fight against the Dragonborn Siege, you're going to be sending dwarves, elves, and druids to heal them pretty much. Iphilius will be joining them there. In Wallace, you're going to send the Tull Pirates and the Priestesses of Celeste to face off against pirate ships and dragons. Is that correct?
Drakes.
Yeah. Wyverns.
No, you said drakes.
They're drakes, which I meant dragons. They're dragons. They're just young. They're young silver dragons.
They're drakes. I'll still kill them.
So, is that your
plan?
What
you're saying... We need reinforcements.
What if we just abandon Wallace? Just zerg the other two places, and then everyone zergs the one place, and then attacks the Silver
Queen Orianna steps in. We are not going to abandon an elven town that's under my jurisdiction. If you do not send enough support there, I will need to send my army.
Wait, you're not sending your army?
You're having my army go to Rathir, but I need to know that Wallace is taken care of.
Then you should go with the Wallace too.
Okay, so let's zerg Wallace first and then zerg the other two places.
I think the Tall Pirates and the Priestesses, I'm comfortable with them going, but if you're going to pull them back, then we can't just leave them to die. Is that what the Unfaithed Army stands for?
No. There's We StarCraft this. everything's good.
Alright, so everything is the way that you said. So, the War Council adjourns. They nod to one another as the armies are being split up. You see Cedric preparing his crows, speaking to some shadowy figures, preparing his crows for the defense of Altonshire. And Phileas leaves to gather up the druids from Crestora to go with the dwarves and the elven armies to Rathir. As Fiona Warsaw nods to you, Belrin, she gives you a blessing. She says, good luck, Belrin.
Good luck to you as well.
Let's hope I don't die. And she leaves. As the tall pirates are going to leave. Oh, it's just something priestesses of Celeste say to one another when we say goodbye. And they leave, and it's not. I just said it for no reason.
So if I don't die.
I was never said to Belrin. It's not right. Their god, pretty much.
You three. Before we, everybody else is gone, but I need to know, what's going on with the Quill? Have you guys found it, or what was the deal with that?
Well, we kind of have to, convince the pirate council, to join our side. Right now, they're split decision.
He's part of the council.
Yeah. They know where the Quill is.
He voted against us.
Fuck, why don't we just fucking kidnap them and make them tell us?
Well, that's not how a pirate council works.
Yeah, fuck.
I need to be put into the empty seat that my grandfather once held.
Fucking pirates. Sleazeballs, all of them. Anyways, so, listen.
He's racist against pirates.
It's probably racist against a lot more, but...
Anyways, so... If you guys could take care of that, kind of, that's the integral part, because... And we have to be careful, too. Amon, you gotta bring us somewhere. We're floating in the sky right now. We can go anywhere. We gotta be safe, okay? All the armies are gone. We don't really have a big defense. He even took the golems out to go and defend Altenshire. Okay, so is there anywhere else you can bring us, or do you think we're safest here? If you want, you can just describe a place, and I can tell you whereabouts that place might be. I mean, if you can think of a place in the world that would be safe.
You cloak the Citadel?
Can I cloak the Citadel?
His eyes go black, and he cannot cloak
the Citadel. Damn it!
It's a big flying... It's like
I can shield it, though, right? I can use the shield that the Netherlord was using, right?
Yes, yes. It will always be, as long as you're sitting in the throne.
Mm-hmm. So I have to be sitting in the throne to use the shield.
Yeah, you can move it wherever you want from anywhere, but in order to be defending it, you have to be sitting in that throne.
I should go park it a toll.
Yeah, we should go toll anyway, so...
He's like, wait, what? Really?
Out of character. Yeah, Mom will probably move it out towards Tall.
Tall? I'm not gonna do it. Not short? You don't want to go to short?
Get out of here.
You fucking did it.
Alright, all of a sudden you guys would just see Amon's eyes go black, and then suddenly you feel a shift. As the Citadel begins moving, Tall is, I know where it is in the map, so northwest. Begins moving sharp north by northwest.
Where are we going?
We're going to Tall.
Do you know how to parallel park this thing?
Why are you going there?
Then we have to get the Quill. That means we have to do the battle with your sister.
All of a sudden, standing there beside you is a cloaked figure. It's a crow, a courier, and he hands you a note.
A crowier.
A crowier.
We're just making up with new stuff all the time.
Okay, I take the letter.
You open it up, and it has the seal of the plundered council on it.
Okay.
You open it up, and inside it gives you information. The plundered council has decided on a time and a place. It will be midnight this evening. And you will be...
That is so short notice.
It's 100%.
Just weird at midnight.
Midnight this evening at the Sunken Cape, which is south of Pirate's Bay.
Would it be this evening or this morning?
What?
Tonight at midnight. Tonight at midnight. At a region of the ocean known as the Sunken Cape.
Can we send him back a message saying it costs more for one day delivery?
Actually, you roll a history check.
Damn it!
You have no idea what the Sunken Cave is.
Yeah, because that's a 5.
You've never heard of the place, but you know it's—they've given you coordinates on how to get there.
Oh, look! There's a book over there in the library that says something about the Sunken Cave.
Is there? Roll a history check.
12.
Erital looks through some books, says that, looks through some books and can't find anything.
Well.
You know what? I'm going to take out the whole outfit thing because that doesn't make any sense. They're going to say it's true. You have to I don't care where you are in the world, you have to travel across the world by midnight tonight. Doesn't make any sense. So,
I don't think that's it.
You have to. It gives you a time and a place, and it's going to be in a few days.
Okay.
That's how long it's going to take you to get there. Okay?
Okay, let's redo that whole thing. You two get
no, 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 no,
no, no, no. Let's go look up some information on the Sunken Coast.
Actually, Amon, you now, as Netherlord, this is canon in the Discord. Okay, so now it's canon. The Netherlord had private libraries that were only accessible to him.
I fucking knew it.
They were curated by Doria, who was one of the roleplay characters. And you would actually have access to all of these previously unknown tomes of knowledge.
Now do I have to go somewhere, or is it like...
No, you could... You're welcome to walk in. You'd be the only one in there. Well, you can let anybody else in. Unless you opened it up to all the warlocks. It's known as, like, it's forbidden knowledge. It just gives you an advantage on history checks and stuff.
So would I... know about this, or have I been told about this by someone?
No, you would know about it.
You'd know about it.
Okay. You know everything you should know. If someone having, like, a fake block over there, you would know that.
Yeah, you can watch people have sex from your throne.
While you have a tentacle up your ass.
A tall one or a short one.
Input tentacle hentai noises.
I like the first bit. Hentai.
Hentai. Mom will go into the library and try to look up a book about the
roll game. A history check with advantage. The last ditch ever.
He's giving us if you guys, a freebie.
He should be able to do a history check. He likes books.
Son fuck.
Well,
that's an 86.
Okay.
A 19? Jesus Christ.
Kind of roll high.
You don't know all the details of the Sunken Cape, only that, mostly that it's full of old tales about ships going missing at sea. It's pretty much the Bermuda Triangle of Varian. You know, it's just like tales of ships going missing, tales of, like, large sea creatures, things like that. But besides that, you really don't know much. Yep.
I'll pretty much bring the book out with the information and share these two.
Yep.
Cool. This book is very vague about everything, but I like that. It's
all this
fun.
Time, you didn't have any more information, just this?
Warlocks aren't really into pirates, so.
Well, we're gonna die.
That's okay.
We don't know much about the very rare race of tall pirates.
That's why Beleriand's so tall.
And done. You guys
it's in
play,
his blood.
You guys ruin it on your own.
Did we ruin it?
I don't want to be a pirate anymore.
All right.
I'm going to be a hairdresser.
All right, guys.
Hairdresser.
You all head there in a few days, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Any last minute preparations? No?
Yes.
Oh, really? Tell me.
I'm going to tie a box up with my rope of climbing as I bring it with me.
You're going to tie a box up?
Yes.
You just what box? What does this box look like? Is it a wooden box?
It is a wooden box.
Okay, is it your boat?
Yes.
Okay, you gotta say that.
I'm tying up my...
Otherwise, I think it's a random box.
Folding boat box.
With rope of climbing. Okay, and it's all tied up there, yeah.
In a nice little bow.
Awesome. And you all go through the portal to the Crimson Galley ship. Put yourselves on the Crimson Galley there. Elrin's wearing his helmet.
You're not.
And his pirate hat on top of it.
Hell yeah!
It's really weird. It keeps falling off like to the side because the helmet, so it gets away and stuff. And just keep adjusting it. All of the squires are there as well on this now floating ship due to a crystal that Eritol installed on it that is still humming and glowing there. The whole sides of the ship are covered in like druidic tree bark that were grown by Seedy. I'm just gonna name all the squires. You see Derek Stormbringer. You see Miss Paws. You see Oscar, the paladin. Christopher Walken, who just seems to be constantly cleaning the deck of the ship with a mop. With a toothbrush. Anna Stormcaller is there. She's always up in the crow's nest.
She's looking up for stones.
Remy Chicane. Oh yeah, it is Bear Killer. Illican Bear Killer, the first mate, is there, shouting out orders to this crew of squires who are commanding the ship. He goes, "Ah, aye aye, Captain Goliath. Captain's on deck!" And you hear them all go, "Yeah! Where are we headed, Captain?" Elrin just realizing he's the captain being spoken to.
To Sunset Girl. What? I should have wrote that shit down.
What?
Why was the place on Sunset Cove?
I think so.
Aye, where are we headed?
There's a letter. Open up that letter.
Open up my letter? Hold on, what's that?
The letter says... I kind of don't want to tell you.
But he has a letter.
He has the letter.
You have the fucking letter.
We're the three worst.
Sunsail
people.
Sunsail Cove, was it?
No.
No.
The Sunken King.
Sunken King. Lost.
You got the S and the C right.
Where's a pencil? You got a pencil?
Yeah, there's lots of pencils, but I don't have them here. They're in the other room. Use your phone. Make notes on your phone.
I don't like using phones.
Okay.
Aye, Captain, where are we headed? I didn't quite hear you. You seemed like you two were...
Sunken Cave Cold Sunset.
You see a pale look take over Illican Bearcock Killer.
Say it ain't so. Have you not heard the stories? Such a place. You could fall off the edge of the world there.
How? It's a cave.
It's a cape. It's a name of a long island. But anyone who goes there never returns.
Well, we'll return, trust me. We have the Crimson Galley, we'll make it back.
I mean...
Aye, aye, Captain.
Mean, if you think about it, I could teleport us out.
Also, if it's a light...
People who go there don't usually teleport.
Also, if it's a legend, somebody has to come back, or who's not going to tell the legend?
I had never thought of it that way. Well, I'm still scared to shite, but all right, I'll try it.
And he's all of a sudden, the ship raises, and you hear all the pirates. All the pirates, wow. I guess the squires are now pirates. Congratulations. All of your squires are pirates.
Aye.
They all go,
aye! It's for the unfated!
So, question.
And the ship flies into the air, and then all of a sudden, with just a trail behind it of just purple pink magic. Around this greeny, barky boat of the Crimson Galley that's flying through the air, and it's flying very, very, very quickly. Whoa!
So, question, Brickiller, how good are you at flying this?
I've had lots of practice now. Don't you worry.
How high can it go?
Never really tested the height. We went.
But you just said you've had lots of practice.
I am not very high.
All right, pause the ship. Let's go up high.
The ship stops. Okay, and they swing the ship up. You guys, everybody, dexterity saves.
We're gonna suffocate up here.
I think that's not what we're rolling for.
Whatever it is, I barely passed it. I was rolling everyone. Fuck, we're gonna lose a few squares just from this.
All of a sudden, at like a 90-degree angle, goes zooming up high into the air. And then you make it 40 feet. Yeah.
Is the ship going 90?
Yeah. Yeah.
He wasn't Pacific.
Because you said go straight up.
I just said go up.
Okay. But yeah, you guys are all just holding on to things cartoonishly as it goes straight into the air. And as it's ascending, you'd go 40 feet, 50 feet, 60 feet, 70 feet, 80 feet, 90 feet, 100 feet, and then all of a sudden, ship starts falling, free fall down towards the water. And as it's free falling, you would see, I'm going to kill some squires.
Oh, don't do that. That's just really mean.
They need to die, man.
And you gave him the perfect opportunity to kill him.
You'd see Derek's Stormbringer, who you guys really never even really spoke to or met before. It's like, it's been an honor!
Who the hell are you?
And he goes flying, just disappearing. You then see Miss Paws there. Holding on to some ropes, and she's like scratching the deck with her claws, and all of a sudden she goes flying.
Can I try to save them?
If you want to try, you're literally falling, free fall to the ocean floor.
Can I slow fall the boat?
You're welcome to try.
I can fly to them. Depends on how far.
Well, I mean, yeah, you could fly.
The last one is Christopher Walken,
yeah,
who's holding on to a rope,
yeah,
and then he's like. Whoa!
Pause, though.
I think of a bad joke.
bad.
Just let go already.
He goes, "Hey, Bellerin, what's a pirate's favorite letter?"
What?
What's a pirate's favorite letter?
Yeah, I don't know.
You're ruining my joke here.
What's a pirate's favorite letter?
This is all happening while free fall.
Yeah, yeah. He goes, never mind a mod. What's a pirate's favorite letter?
What?
You're not supposed to ask one. He goes flying. You're supposed to say R. You guys not know that you're supposed to say R?
As he flies, I'm going to try to cast levitate on him.
Oh. It's our slow fall.
Only him.
Save yourself.
Just Christopher Walken. The other two are gone. They're dead.
I couldn't react in time.
Okay. And Eritol, you notice that the crystal is blinking.
Can I flow a bit of magic into the crystal?
The boat suddenly takes shape. It is now levitating comfortably just above the ocean.
So, let's not do that again.
90 feet. No higher than 90 feet.
90 feet above sea level or 90 feet above?
Let's try this again.
Christopher Walken slowly lands and says, "Tis the sea!"
No, it's R.
Tis the sea!
Oh, God.
He lands on deck. Oh, the two crew members short.
How is he the only one to survive?
Fowron goes over and pushes him overboard.
Oh!
Lands safely in the water.
Yeah, he's still got levitated.
Oh, I guess that too.
I guess you guys proceed.
Yeah.
after the death of two squires.
That's such chaos. It's so stupid.
Anyways, and you guys eventually make it to
Sunken Cape.
The Sunken Cape. No, I just want to make sure this was still recording.
I'm writing things down.
And as you get to the Sunken Cape, would you like a pencil?
No, I'll
use have them right there.
No, I'll use my phone. For some reason, it's big letters.
See, my next setup is going to be a little laptop here. And the phone, I think this is
a good bag. Excellent.
Because it's got one of these.
I wish I had one of those.
That's so cool. What kind of phone is that?
Note 10?
Yeah, that's
that one new. Won't blow up, right?
That's, no. Yeah, it's the newest one.
they probably did so much testing only to make sure it will never blow up. Did they skip over 8 and 9?
They skipped over 9.
Okay. That's what I thought. Okay. So, ahead of you, as you're standing on the deck of the ship, you would see several pirate ships. These are huge. They're some of the biggest ships you've ever seen. And they're covered in... and they seem like... From your history, Belrin, some of these are legendary ships that you heard of growing up as a child. These are the ships, each one belonging to a different member of the Plundered Council. And you would also see floating above them all in the sky, cast by a terrible storm that's brewing behind it with lightning, is Clara's dreadnought, just floating in the sky like a wraith. And then you guys are slowly pulling in. You want to say something?
Oh, I thought we could just surprise them with another hire.
Well, you have time. I mean, you guys see this in the distance. So.
But then they don't see us.
Okay. So, how high above the water are you floating the ship right now? Or do you want Bear Killer's just doing whatever you want.
I was gonna say, just before we get there, let's have a quick team meeting. We lost two squires. It's terribly sad. That's my fault. I told Bear Killer go up. I didn't think he'd be that stupid to go straight up. But
he's
my
a
fault.
Pirate.
It's okay. I wasn't specific, I take blame for that.
I've been helming ships my whole life, but I've never helmed a ship that flies.
You had 2 weeks of practice.
Aye, and I never went up high. I'm not crazy.
The point of a flying ship is to go high.
That high?
Oh, you gotta know your ship's limitations.
It's okay. Do we want to just go and meet them and do it like all honorably and stuff, or do you want to just go up really high and just throw stuff down at them?
Well, it's just gonna be her ship, I'm hoping.
Should be only her ship.
What if she has surprise ships? What if she has an army?
Doesn't that forfeit the duel?
It is a duel, and they
can
you
trust
say.
Her?
Then we defeat her. Then we can just leave, and she forfeits the duel automatically.
Or we just kill everyone.
She cannot die. We need her alive.
Why?
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 Who's going to control her undead pirate army?
You.
You?
Not if she dies.
Don't you have the hat?
What do you know about the secret
undead? Have to do with anything.
Wait, how do you know how the secret undead pirate army works?
I'm not. I'm just saying that if she dies, what makes you think that they'll follow me?
Maybe they just die themselves.
And then we lose the whole army?
Yeah. Keep losing squires, so why not?
I mean, true. You can't argue with that. Okay, can either fight her or try to convince her to join us.
Well, she's undead and wants revenge on you. I think convincing would be that easy.
On a side note, one thing we can all agree on, let's just not tell Phileas that squires died today.
Yes.
Especially Miss Paws. She really liked Miss Paws.
Yeah, no, let's just say she ran off. Give me 1 week to go up.
Alright.
I don't care how we do it.
It's trying to negotiate with her at first. And if that doesn't work...
So we're taking Philly's approach.
Yeah, as soon as he said that...
Yes. We'll take the Phileas approach, because that's what Phileas would do. Actually, Phileas would kill her. Almost certain he would probably kill her.
But he would still try to negotiate a little first.
Okay.
So we approach normally.
But with caution.
We lose our element of surprise.
What if I just fly up to our ship and you guys hide with the...
Do you have a signal to when things go south?
Yeah, he's got fucking blinding white arrows.
I'll shoot it into the sky.
As long as it doesn't hit me.
Do you have the Heart of Hadar on you?
No.
Oh, then you're fine.
What do you think about that?
About you shooting him? I don't know. I wasn't there for that.
It was not fun.
Yeah, you're fine. You're survived.
I feel like you guys have some built up tension.
He still hates me.
It's unresolved. Never be resolved.
Do you guys love each other?
No.
It took a long time to say no.
Where's Joseph?
Okay.
Okay. Anyway.
That's, you're the captain. We're following your lead.
We need to disable her ship.
Now, will we do that?
I have an idea. And it might be crazy.
You are pretty crazy.
But if it doesn't work, I need the element of surprise from you guys.
Okay.
So why don't I fly up? Okay, the plan. I'll fly up to her ship, try to negotiate with her, and if things go south, if you guys are able to bring the ship in on the starboard side. Don't look up starboard. Good job, I'm proud of you, because I have that too on my phone. Would you be able to cloak the hide the ship somehow? Is there a way to hide the ship?
I mean, no and yes.
Don't really have a power that hides stuff.
I can create an illusion of a cloud underneath the ship if we fly up high enough.
Wait a minute. Would you be able to cast an illusion of my the ship in front of her and then the real ship hidden over there as a cloud? Or is that too much?
That's a lot. And I could only do that for about a minute.
It's not a negotiation for a minute.
It would take more than a minute for you to get in front of her.
Damn it! Alright. Let's just go head on.
So no surprise.
Okay. We should go head on. We always head on everything anyways, whatever.
Well, let me negotiate with her first.
Sure.
We'll see how that goes. That's the plan, okay? We got the plan.
Okay. So, you would then, ahead of you, you'd see the Pirate Council, shoots off a flare on their ships, directing you to pull your ship in.
Okay.
Oh, so the Pirate Council, I mean, she can't shoot anyways.
She can do whatever she wants.
She could do whatever she wants.
Pirates. They're all pirates.
She might have some Pirate Council members on her side.
Expect betrayal.
Yeah.
So what do you do?
He didn't plan for any of this, but all this is going through his
head. I know.
I can do this.
I know.
What do you do?
I didn't plan. I planned everything.
Sailed right up.
You sail right up to... Okay, so if you want to imagine, you guys are here. Imagine.
Yeah, it's just like
the pirate ships are against, because this is a small island that's here.
Yeah.
Called the Sunken Cape. It's literally like there's no mountains or anything. It's just sand. That's how low this thing is. It's just an island of sand there. And the pirates are all parked up against it. Her ship is floating in the sky, like above the island. So you guys are coming up like this. So do you go park, or are you planning to go fly up to her, or what are you planning to do?
I wouldn't say fly up. That's our element of surprise to her.
So you are, well, right now, are you guys looking like you're in the water?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you're using it like a regular ship.
We turn the ship, obviously, so our cannons face her, because she's parked in a way that her cannons are faced us.
Yep.
Et cetera, et cetera. You know, let's do the proper ship things.
Yep. And you guys pull up to the council?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You guys pull up to the council's ships. You're drawn in, and you pull up right up next to Dread Captain Barnacle Beard's main ship. It's mostly made of metal more than it's made of wood. This is a fine ship with spikes all over it. The Jolly Roger skull and crossbones colors all over it. And the plank is dropped for you. And there you see the pirate that you met in, where was it? Oh, the Freehold. Captain Tattersail is there. He's the one with poop all over him, and he's got the bird that says, "Fuck you! Fuck! Fuck you!" He's like, "Hey! I'm aboard! Barnacle Beard wants a parley for the battle. Clara's already arrived."
There you go. That's what you wanted.
It is what I wanted.
So imagine this is right now Barnacle Beard's ship.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm gonna die.
What do you want to do?
I'm gonna...
We parlay.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys walk on the plank and you walk onto the ship.
I give Amon a friendly nudge while he's on the plank.
One second.
As if I'm going to push him off, but I don't.
Do it. Just squints his eyes at Eritolf.
Aye, lieutenants, calm yourself.
Alright, you guys... Just the three of you, or do you bring all your squires with you? Or do you leave your squires on the ship?
Squires stay on the ship. Bearkiller is in charge of them.
Place yourselves. Okay.
Place ourselves.
So if you imagine this is your ship, this is Barnacle Beard's ship, and Clara's ship is still floating.
Mm-hmm.
Like 70 feet up in the air that way. You walk off of the ship, you're walking through, and the sailors and the other pirates on the ship are just giving you side eyes as you all walk through, until you finally approach, and you see standing on this deck are all of the Dread Captains. And they turn around, and you see Clara standing there in front of them as well. You see the Beholder, Dread Captain Xanathar looking at you. Red Captain Nakara is just sort of cleaning one of her blades. They're all just doing different things. Barnacle Beard, Red Captain Barnacle Beard is there, and he's just smoking a large pipe.
So you made it at last.
Yes.
And just remember, this is midnight. It's pretty much around midnight. The skies are completely clear except for this brewing storm that seems to just cascade right behind Clara. It looks like it could come upon you guys at any time. The only illumination on this ship are the torchlights. And he says,
So, This is a parley. This is the last chance for any sort of negotiation or forfeit before your fight, ship by ship, one-on-one, with no interference from any of us. So, if either of you, by our pirate code, would like to step down from this challenge, now is your chance.
Well, I'm not going to step down. Clara.
Clara's there. Ah, brother. And you think that I would?
Make you a deal.
A deal?
Yeah.
Oh, he thinks he's a trickster god now, does he?
No, we already have one of those on our side.
And I'm pretty sure tricksters don't really make a deal. I mean, yeah, okay. I'll make you a deal. You step down from this battle. Allow me to take the seat of the council. And once the Silver Eye is defeated, you can have the Lightbearer power.
That's a pretty good deal. That's a pretty good deal. I didn't even know he was gonna make that deal.
He's like, the gears are turning.
Clara, it, just like me, is completely taken off guard. For the first time, you really see her taken off guard. And the Dread Pirates are all looking like,
what the fuck is he talking about? The man speaking curses and old wives' tales.
Mon's gonna, like, nudge Baron. You really want to do that? Remember who she shares?
Chances are good, I'm gonna die anyway.
You offer your light bearer powers, do you?
Yeah. But you can only have them after Zebnox is defeated, and after the Silver Eye is gone, and you help us with that. But at any point you betray us, the deal's off.
It's a good fucking deal.
It gives her a motive to, like, help us to expedite the deal quicker.
She's quiet for a moment, and then she slowly approaches, her boots clicking against the wood and clanks as she approaches you face to face.
Oh, I know why she was called Long Strider.
There's a lot more pirate in you than I knew, brother.
I've learned through the years.
But, you know, I'm gonna need more than just your word on this. I mean, after all, I'm taking a big risk.
You are. What do you want?
It's not about what I want, brother. It's about what she wants.
Roll a persuasion with advantage.
Ooh. It's a good thing I have advantage.
You guys have been rolling shit today.
Well, you guys, that was nice knowing you. It's only a 5.
Oh my god, okay, wait, what's it?
I'm afraid, brother, that's not a deal that I can make.
There's a orb attached to Clara's belt. Similar to the orb that you saw at the top of the Crimson Galley. There seems to be green flame inside of it. Clara picks it up.
London Council, if you'd excuse me for 5 minutes. I'm gonna have to take this.
She wouldn't say that. That sounds like she's getting a call.
Well, she is.
I will need to convene with the powers that be on this deal, it seems. But right now, I don't trust them.
she turns and walks up to the captain's quarters alone. And you guys are alone. Alone with the plundered council.
Why couldn't she just take that call here in front of everyone?
Told you not to trust the pirate!
Plunder Council's there.
Yes, she would have stopped her.
Where? Yeah, where's
parlay?
Yeah, it's a parlay. You have to put everything on the table.
Parlay means no weapons. That didn't look like a weapon to me. And besides, we're all entitled to our secrets.
No, not the, what? No?
You're a council, you shouldn't be able to know everything about each other. You all work together. Something's not right.
Well, I mean, they're not in the council chamber.
I'll bet you stop worrying about what we're doing. And then old Betsy is actually also a Dread Captain member is there as well. Old stubby. Old stubby.
Well, you know.
She's part of the short pipes.
Oh, okay. Yes,
off with the one tag.
Can I convene with my group for a moment?
You have every right to do so, as Clara does.
Come on.
Mm.
You guys go somewhere private?
I cast the mind thingy.
Okay.
Never mind. Perfect. We're just going to stand there and
yep.
stare at them and talk.
Okay, go ahead.
Is it possible to teleport between one of you two this wooden crate with this rope onto her ship?
Yes.
Without them knowing about it?
No.
No.
We need that crate up there.
Okay. Erithal grabs it, teleports out, and teleports back.
Hold on. So Erithal walks up, teleports, and the Dread Captain's like, hey, where'd he go?
Teleports back.
Hold on, no, you don't.
Huh?
Because once you teleport to her ship, what you think is her ship, suddenly you begin free-falling.
No, it's a ghost ship. I slow-fall myself.
It is an illusion.
Yeah.
That is not where her ship is.
It's in the lightning storm.
So you begin falling, and then you teleport back with the box in your hand.
When I was up there, and I'm falling, I'm like, it's not a ship, it's an illusion. Teleport back, stone face, and I start eating, like, some meat sticks.
Meat sticks again.
Clara comes back down from the captain's quarters.
Well, what was that about, sister?
You know exactly what it was about, brother. You know who I was talking to. And she, despite my own lack of faith, seems to want to take your deal.
Well, that's the only reason why you're here.
Shh. Fuck up. Clara, ignore the mewlings of an idiot.
I killed him, it's fine.
Clara is going to hand you a green orb. Just gives Amon a spiteful look.
This will seal the deal.
What is it?
Hey! It's connected to her. To Glacia. When you hold the orb, and you say the words of the deal, it will be set in stone. And the moment that you are gone and dead, she will have the light there.
Crap, no, I don't know what to do.
Oh, don't tell me you were being deceptive in front of all of the pirate council.
No.
And that you didn't mean the deal. I mean, I'm willing to help you if
fight against the Silver Eye in no deceptive way at all. But the moment that you last draw your breath, your powers will belong to Glacia.
What happens when that happens?
Are you asking that in character? Or is this in your... You have to tell me because you guys are speaking in your heads as well.
What happens when that happens? He's going to say it out loud. There's everyone. Everyone.
Hey, that's not for us to know.
What do you mean?
Never mind what happens after that. Listen here.
The jerk captains need to know. It's all a part of it.
We don't really care, to be honest. We just want you guys to fight. But if you can find a more amicable understanding, then stop wasting our time. We just want this vote over with. Take the deal, brother.
I'll take the deal.
Belrin, you move your hand forward and you touch the orb. Suddenly, you feel, you guys would see as the orb begins to glow a green fire in Belrin's hand.
Before he touches the orb, can I time stop?
You have time stop? Son of a bitch. Yeah, but what's the, Man, I need to limit that shit. Okay, roll 1d4.
Bitch. I mean.
That gives you, and that'll tell you how many seconds time it's stopped for.
What do you need?
Oh, d4.
D4.
Can someone double check time stop?
It's 1 plus 1d4.
For the rounds, I know.
No, but each round is 6 seconds, so that'll tell you.
While you take 1d4 plus 1 turns in a room.
Is it just me?
Yes.
You briefly stop.
Maybe I shouldn't.
For everyone but yourself.
Yeah. You know, in D&D, if you have to ask, should I? You always should.
Ah, fuck it. Okay, I'm gonna time stop. I'm gonna grab the orb. I'm gonna.
Hold on, hold on. Time stop. One thing at a time. This is cinematic. So, okay. Okay. So, first of all, Eritol sees Belrin being handed this thing, and then. So it's 6 seconds plus what?
18 seconds.
Well, what did
it's
you roll?
18 seconds total.
What did you roll?
Two.
Two.
12. So,
6, 12, 18. You, all of a sudden, time stops for Eritol. You have 18 seconds to do something.
I run up, grab the orb, put the orb in my pocket, in my pouch.
Yeah.
I'll teleport. No. It's gonna take me how many seconds to grab orb?
I'm gonna say 6 seconds.
Fuck! Really?
Well, I mean, hold on, hold on. Come grab the orb. 1, 2, 3.
God. Okay.
4.
Okay. Okay.
5.
As he does that, the 6 seconds to grab the orb, he'll grab a glass orb, put it in that hand, yeah. Like a the just a random glass fucking thing. Put in that hand. Take that one. Put it in that. Pocket. Teleport out into Dimension Door, into like my own like little area.
Yeah.
Hide the bag there. Come back. Like not even hide, just like drop the bag, come back. And for the final few seconds, I'm gonna cast real illusion. Like minor illusion, but it makes the object real for a very short amount of time.
Okay. I just need you to roll a sleight of hand check with advantage. With advantage.
Your sleight of hand's dexterity?
Yeah.
22.
Okay. So where are you standing? Are you back to where you were?
Yeah.
And Claire doesn't seem to have noticed anything happen, nor Belrin, and you take it.
Now, you'll say the deed.
I'll give you my light bearer powers. Then you have to say the deal.
Yeah. I thought you were just going to say that. It's like, what?
If you join us in the final battle against Zevanox and the Silver Eye is gone and Zevanox is dead.
And all is restored.
And all is as one.
Right, Optimus Prime. And Clara looks.
So the deal must be done.
Excellent.
I mean, the deal must be done.
Wait, one second. Hold up the orb. I need to imagine what's going on. Because the orb would have... So she looks, and she's expectantly looking at the orb as if it's supposed to do something.
I flick my hand, and it, like, glows a weird green thing. I don't know.
Clara's eyes go wide. Like,
Erital's just like...
That is hilarious.
And she's listening. She seems to be listening.
I agree.
And you both put your hand on the orb, and then she crushes it with her hand.
And it vanishes.
And the glass just cuts up your hand.
Ow!
And you start bleeding.
Oh.
The deal is done. Zevanox is defeated. Your Lightbearer powers will belong to her.
Fair enough.
Thundered Council, I forfeit this battle against my brother.
You don't feel any different, Belrin. You just gave it all up. But you really don't feel different. Yeah, it's weird. And the Plundered Council looks at each other, nods.
Then be gone with ya, witch. Back to the depths of the ocean. We don't want to see your kind near the Freehold ever again.
She goes, don't you worry.
Wherever my brother goes, where I shall.
Nods and she turns back and walks off the plank onto and seems to be walking on thin air. Suddenly, on the opposite side of the ship here, suddenly her ship appears right there and the illusion of the ship in the sky disappears.
I mean, realistically, I probably would have seen that happen with the cloak on, which I completely forgot about.
What happened with him?
No, with the her ship and everything, right?
I don't know if you can see that.
Yes, you would have.
I would have, but...
You never... Yeah, you,
I know,
you have to remind me that. That's too bad. That would have been
advantageous.
Or it would have fucked things up, because this actually worked out fairly well for you, somehow. Until she finds out the truth. But the council looks at each other, and they go... You see Dread Captain Barnacle Beard takes out a knife and cuts his own right hand. And blood begins to pour down.
Alright, well, poetic that your hand's already bleeding. So, you, Belrin, name yourself.
Belrin Longstride Jones.
Belrin Longstride Jones, from henceforth, you shall take your grandfather's place on this council, on the Plundered Council. And you shall be known forevermore as Dread Captain Belrin Longstride Jones
of the Crimson Galley.
Of the Crimson Galley.
Of Tall.
You and him shake hands and blood just spews down and hits the floor of the deck. All of a sudden you just hear all the pirates go, yeah! And they start shooting their cannons. And on the ship you see Illican Bear Killer start shooting his cannons. There's cannon fire everywhere. And as the cannon fire is going and everything, you see Clara on her ship just slowly floating up, and she's just looking at you as her ship slowly floats away.
I can see you.
I see you, Clara.
Oh boy.
Let's go get the quill real quick. Like, real quick.
Yeah, that's kind of the next thing.
Let's go get the quill. Like, now.
council. We're looking for the quill, remember?
Oh, I can answer that for you, absolutely. Well,
answer.
The quill is no longer in our possession. It hasn't been in quite some time. My ancestors, they made their way to Valkyr long ago and fought against the Frost Giants, and we took the quill as our prize. We wanted to do great things with it, but the Trickster's quill is simply that. It's elven magic, and it doesn't give you what you want. So we kept it hidden in one of our treasure chests, hidden away, when it was besieged by fire elementals. Aye.
Ones that go cock, cock, cock?
Indeed, those ones, aye. It said that it was stolen by them and then brought to the throne of the elements. But nobody knows where that is. No ship has ever sailed there. No map or cartographer has ever found it. So I'm afraid that your bounty is out of reach, Dread Captain Belrin Longstride Jones of the Crimson Galley.
My bear is the last.
And my bears of the Celeste. I'm not calling you that. I don't give a shit.
So we did this all for nothing.
Ooh. For now, we do our vote. Dead captains, I think it's about time that we break this stalemate. All in favor of stopping the Silver Eye and siding with the unfated army in this war, say aye. You see, exactly half of the Dread Pirates say aye, aye, aye.
Aye.
So it's decided with the vote of Dread Captain Belrin Longstride Jones of the Crimson Galley that we will side with the unfated army. Our ships will be at your disposal.
You're welcome.
Hip hip hooray! Hip hip hooray! Hip hip hooray! As all the pirates are now celebrating. Aye, how about we have some ale to celebrate, eh?
Well, you know, quick ale. I think we're on a time crunch for this quill.
Aye, I won't be hearing none of that. It's already midnight. It's time that we drink ourselves stupid, aye? And Barklebeard pats you on the back as if you're an old friend and brings you into the bottom of his ship where there's a large bar and celebrations are being had. Does everybody drink?
Libations.
Libations. You're all going to get very intoxicated while your two allies are fighting gruesome battles across the world. You guys are having fun. And that is where we're going to end this episode. Wow.
Wow.
Well, there goes all the pieces for the ship battle. So,
I got these ready for nothing.
I mean, you offered her what she wanted.
I know.
I created the ship battle. I take it away, the ship battle.
But will it bite you in the ass?
Probably. Yes. She can't communicate with Glacia, though, so.
Well,
unless Glacia actually decides.
Comes back.
I guess there are ways for.
She surfaces.
For devils to. Or archdevils to communicate, so.
I feel like we should just go off the books, do a quick second episode, and figure that shit out.
I was expecting this to be longer, but he made a deal that she couldn't refuse. So, I want to thank everybody for listening to this episode. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Stubborn Heroes. You can follow me on DM at Omidius, Omidius. You can follow nobody else because nobody else uses their social media, but go on our Discord.
Come on! We have a whole community of people who are waiting to talk to you about the show, about all of your D&D interests. Share some art, anything you want. Just come and join us on Discord. The link is in the description below. You can also, if you feel like it, if you got a few bucks, give us some support on Patreon. Even a dollar. That would be amazing. We love it.
I need new pants.
And it helps us buy clothes for Raymond, who's he's very poor, guys. Okay? He comes half naked. And, like, we enjoy looking at it, but, like, he needs some clothes. So, yeah, until next time. Bye.
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 Thanks for the new pants.